I'm not sure how long ago it was, maybe a year or 2 years ago, had a brother from here ask me a question. He said, is there a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God? I'm not exactly sure how you'd answer that. And I said, well, that's a really good question and something to think about. And I said, I think that would make a good council meeting message sometime. And so scheduled for me this time, and so I decided I'd talk about this. Is there a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God in your heart? I believe there is. Now, can you have the peace of God without having peace with God? No, I don't think so. And as we think about our God and the God of peace, and as you think about there's so many verses in the scriptures regarding peace and God and the God of peace and so forth. But the idea of having peace in our hearts without having peace with God, Isaiah says this, the last verse of chapter 48, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And in case we didn't catch that, over in Isaiah 57, the last verse of that chapter says, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. One of those is Elohim, and the other is Yahweh, or Jehovah. It's like he's making it very, very clear that there is no peace for the wicked. And I would say this morning, and I hope there's no one here in this situation, if you're here and you're living a wicked life and you have a peace and a calm in your heart, that's dangerous. That's not a good thing. Most people just wouldn't have that. So we must, first of all, make peace with God and have peace with God. Speaking of this God of peace, it's interesting that in Isaiah he also says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. If we want peace, we make peace, first of all, with the Prince of Peace, and then allow him to rule in our hearts. And we'll look at some of those scriptures. Then when Jesus did come, the Prince of Peace says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace, the God of peace. Well, let's think about how we have peace with God. We're going to look at that first, because if that's not taken care of, we won't have the peace of God. So turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I have a couple of passages that I want to look at and talk about as far as making peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at about 10 verses here. I think we'll start reading in verse 12. And I'm not going to make a lot of comments on every verse here, but I want you to just think about what you're reading and what you're hearing here as we read through this and how this might apply to having peace with God. So starting at verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Right there, you have so much about having peace with God. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Peace with God is made because of his shed blood and because of who he is. You look at this passage, it talks about the fact that he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn. He has the preeminence in all things. And yet, he made peace, it says in verse 20, through the blood of his cross. Why? To reconcile all things to himself. And then it goes on to say that those of us who were alienated from God, those of us who were enemies of God, those of us who had no hope, were wicked works, it says, now hath he reconciled through his death. And we can be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace. Now let's go back to Romans where it maybe fleshes this out just a little bit more. Well, how do we obtain that peace then? So we go back to Romans chapter 5. And it's hard to think about moving into chapter 5 because the first verse there says, therefore, and so I want to go back and we're going to talk a little bit about chapter 3, 4 in order to get to chapter 5. The first three chapters of Romans basically point out, in a sense, that all are sinners. You get to verse 23 of chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it starts to talk about how to be justified. And as you know, to be justified means to be made right or seen as righteous in the eyes of God. If you're justified, you're seen as right or righteous. You have a right standing with the Father. And how is that done? Well, it goes on then and he talks about Abraham. He talks about faith and he talks about how these things are counted to us, how our faith is counted to us, or it is put on our account, or it is seen as righteousness. Our faith is what it is. It's not our works, although if you go to James, it's very clear that the faith that is the kind that justifies a sinner also works out in everyday living. Don't say that, well, yeah, I've been justified and I've got faith and shed blood of Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, and then it just ends there. And we don't live it out. Certainly, true faith is worked out in our daily lives. But it's made very clear here in these passages that it is by faith. It is by faith. In chapter 4, we could jump over to about verse 19, for instance, talking about Abraham. And it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform what God had promised he would do. And therefore it was imputed, or counted, or reckoned. That's a word in these passages, about four words, it's all the same in the Greek. Therefore it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness, his faith was. And righteousness, meaning he was justified. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, how? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And it goes on and talks about this. But the fact is, we have peace with God because we are justified by faith. So we come to a point in our lives where we recognize that we are sinners, as it, like I said, the first few chapters of Romans points out that everyone's a sinner. And we want to have peace with God. Well, how are we going to have peace with God? Well, we have to come to a point where we recognize that I can do nothing on my own outside of accepting by faith the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made by shedding his blood and his resurrection for my sin. And when I place my faith in God's perfect son and perfect sacrifice for sin, God looks upon that and says, I count your faith as righteousness, and you are justified, and you have peace with me. If you're here and you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ for your sins, to cover your sins, to take your sins away, forgiveness, however you want to look at it, you don't have peace with God. If you're still trying to say, well, I think I'm good enough. I think I can work good enough to make it all work out. Or I think my life is good enough. Or I think I can get there. I can get to perfection on my own. Outside of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, you don't have a right standing with God. And you don't have peace with God. I trust that those of you that are here that are old enough to understand what I'm talking about have made that step. And you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And then it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, the next question is, do you have the peace of God in your heart? And what's the difference? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 of Romans, I'm going to look at a couple of verses here in Romans. It's interesting that when he starts out this passage, he's mentioning a few things. He gets to verse 7, chapter 1, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. The to be there is in italics. It's not in the original. Let me read it again. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing to saints. He's writing this letter to those who he believes have been justified. And he's explaining justification because he said to the saints, but then he says, grace to you and peace. We don't have peace in our hearts outside of the grace of God. It comes by the grace of God. You will see a number of Paul's letters that mention that. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. If we don't have grace first, we won't have peace. We won't have peace with God, or we won't have the peace of God, either one. Now, go to chapter 14 here of Romans. And we're going to look at verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And over in chapter 15, verse 13, again he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a common denominator in these two verses that I think play a huge part in whether or not we have the peace of God in us. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and joy. A joy that comes. It only comes when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and giving us that peace. In the midst of times when maybe it doesn't make sense to have peace. But there's that joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to go through a number of things that I think are important to have the peace of God in our hearts. And the first one I mentioned was grace. It's the grace of God. And secondly, it's that Holy Spirit working in us that brings a joy that comes with that peace. So joy and the Holy Ghost seem to go together. And brings peace into our hearts. Turn with me now a few pages over in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I think I'll read starting in verse 8, and then we're going to come back to, maybe I'll read this verse now instead of coming back to it later. Let's just look at it now. We'll start at verse 6. Actually, we're going to go back to verse 4. We've got to get a lot of context here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see that? The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye both have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Two things in this passage right here, or several, but one, it talks about not worrying, talks about being thankful. But then he gives a list of things to think on. If you don't have peace in your heart, are you thinking about the right things? When I don't have peace, it's often that I become worried because I'm thinking about things that I don't need to think about, that aren't. Things that I usually can't control anyway. And so he says, finally, think on these things. And he gives this whole list of things to think about. And then he said, the God of peace shall be with you. And this is a peace that passes all understanding. There are people who find themselves in situations, and you may have found yourself in situations at time in life, where you cannot explain the peace you have in the midst of the particular situation you're in. It makes no sense. It goes beyond understanding. It passes understanding. The peace of God that can rule in our hearts goes beyond our understanding. But in this passage, it would also indicate that we need to do some things. Paul says, the things that you've received and you've learned and you've heard and you've seen in me, do it, and the peace of God will be with you. Sometimes we don't have that peace because we're not doing what we know we need to do and what God has told us to do, what's clear in his word. And so we don't do those things, and then we wonder why I don't have peace, the peace of God ruling in my heart. In 1 Thessalonians, we see that God wants to sanctify us. There's a sanctifying process that brings peace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Right before that, he mentions about abstaining from all appearances of evil. A little bit before that, he talks about praying without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. The very God of peace sanctify you. Sanctify you. The God of peace wants to sanctify us. If we're not allowing God to work in our hearts and to sanctify us, we probably won't have peace if we're not growing in him. And over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace. Again, he mentions just grace and peace. Be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You say, well, is it really important to know about God? Shouldn't I just know God rather than to know about God? Well, it's hard to really know God if we don't know much about God. Here it says, peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. I think the more we know and understand God, and the more we're being sanctified, and the more we're thinking the right things, and the more we're doing the right things and living it out, the more God can bring that peace into our hearts, and we can have this peace of God ruling in our hearts. And go back to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses here in Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse 12, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, I want to stop there just for a second. I'm not talking a lot this morning about peace on a horizontal level. I'm going to ask you that question. Do you have peace with God and your fellow men as much as lies in you? And you want to take part in communion? It's a question we ask. So there's a vertical having peace with God and our fellow men, horizontal peace. Here it talks a little bit about that. Forgiving. That usually takes care of the horizontal peace. We have to be forgiven by God first and having that peace with God. And then the peace of God, as we forgive, we can have that. And that can bring a peace. So, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I think that's something that we need to do, is let the peace of God be in control or to rule. I think I've met some people in my life that, whether it's because of bitterness or frustration or something in life, don't even want the peace of God. They want to have peace with God, but they want to remind you of everything that has ever troubled them and been frustrating, and every person they can't forgive, and on and on and on. And I think they aren't willing to just let the peace of God rule and take control. It's available. It's there for all of us. It's available. The psalmist wrote, "Great peace have they which love thy law." It's not the end of the verse. I'll finish it then. "Those that love the word of God have peace, and nothing shall offend them." That was a challenge to me. It's easy to get offended sometimes, frustrated, upset. Maybe it needs to be more of a love for the word and the Lord and letting the peace rule in us. Isaiah also says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." How? "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And I think this verse here, it really jumped out to me as one of the keys to this whole thing of having the peace of God ruling in our hearts. "Whose mind is stayed," or that word can mean to lean upon, to take hold of, "on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And I think that we need to move from a saving faith to a trusting in everything faith. And you might say, "Well, now, wait a minute, what's the difference?" Well, we can have faith that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead, I believe that. And we can have a right standing with God based on that. But have we moved to a faith that says, "Yeah, God's going to take care of me no matter what. God's going to help me with this. God's going to take care of this. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to. God's going to take care of it." As I thought about that, I want to remind you of a couple of stories that you probably have heard. The one, maybe different variations of. The one, the first one I'm going to share, I don't know if it's actually a true story or if somebody came up with it, but it's helpful for us to, I think, help understand. The story about a king or a ruler who wanted a picture, a painting of perfect peace. He wanted a painting that he could display that showed him what peace really is. And so a number of painters decided they would try to be the winner of this and paint a picture, and so different ones painted pictures of different scenes and so forth. And one painted a picture in the mountains where the wind hardly ripples the water of a beautiful lake, and the mountains on the sides around the lake, and a calm across the water, and some sheep calmly grazing there with no predators around them, and very peaceful scene. And a lot of people thought, well, that'll be the winner, the winning picture. But another painter painted a scene of a rocky mountainside and a waterfall coming down across these rocks, and the clouds were gray and there's some lightning flashing in the clouds, and you can tell it's just a scene that would almost be frightful to be there. But there, growing out of the rocks by the waterfall, is this little tree, and there in a limb right close to the waterfalls is a little bird nest with a little mother bird sitting on her nest with her eyes closed, just trusting. That's peace. That's perfect peace. Not when everything's going well. Anyone can have a peace and a calm. Another story that you've heard, I'm sure, is Horatio Spafford, who wrote the song, "When Peace Like a River Tendeth My Soul." I don't know if you know the whole story. I'm sure most of you do. But he had lost his fortune in the Chicago fire. Most of what he had, he lost in the Chicago fire. Around the same time, he lost his 4-year-old son to scarlet fever, I believe it was. Decided he needed a vacation, and maybe the family did, just to get away. So he sent his wife and 4 daughters on a trip to Europe back. This would have been the 1870s. And the ship was in a crash with another ship or something, and a couple 100 people lost their lives, including his 4 daughters. His wife survived. And then she sent him a telegram. I think it started out something about, I survived alone, or I forget exactly how it was, but what shall I do? And anyway, he sends back and he says he'll come. And on the way there, captain of the ship tells him along the journey approximately when they were in the area where he had lost his 4 daughters. And he wrote that song, "When Peace Like a River." Again, that's perfect peace, when you can have peace in the midst of a storm. And so this morning, just ask you that question. You know, life can be very tumultuous. Life can bring a lot of things that we aren't looking for. Things that are very frustrating, that get out of our realm of things we can control. So we can have peace with God, having been saved by faith. But then in those situations do we have the peace of God. And sometimes it may not feel like it. But I think if we come back to the God of peace, and we think on the right things, and we do the right things, and we love His Word, and we trust His Word, and we move that faith from a saving faith to a trusting faith, then we can have peace with the God of peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for this day. Thank You for being the God of peace. Thank You that we can have peace with You, and that we can have Your peace by Your Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts, and that it can rule in us, and that it's a peace that passes all understanding. And we thank You for that, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that You would just give each one of us that kind of peace in our hearts, even in times when things are very rough and very rocky, or in times when things are going very well. Help us to never forget we need Your peace. And most of all, we need to have peace with You. So thank You, Lord, for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.